Welcome to the One Right Church podcast, where we will discuss what it's like to believe that you attend the only right church. My name is Mark Shaw, and I spent the first 45 years of my life in the Followers of Christ Church in Oregon City, believing I was in the One Right Church. Our hope is that by simply sharing our story, that we would urge people to look to the Bible for answers instead of their religious traditions. We want to encourage people to trust in Jesus for their salvation and not in attending the One Right Church. Let's get started. So, Scott, I was talking to a friend the other day, and he was really having a hard time. They had left about a year ago or so, and was just having a hard time with some things, and we were just kind of talking about how hard it is to leave followers and some of the questions, some of the accusations that would come up. And
they came against him, you think? Is that?
I'm sure. Yeah. Yes. Oh. They did. And they came against me as well when we left. And
so that's why you're talking to him about it, because both of you had the same thing.
Okay. Yeah, exactly. And so really what it was, and we've talked about grace on this podcast a lot of times, God's grace. And really what this started with was when you leave followers, you're accused of that being for multiple reasons. It could be because you couldn't face people after a sin or a failure, but it could be because you got bitter. That was something, that was terminology that was used a lot. You were just unhappy and just
I could see that left. Happening.
Yeah, right. Yeah. But the most common one was that you just wanted an easier way. You wanted to find an easier way. I took that to mean that you didn't have enough faith to meet the requirements of, you know, the expectations, I should say, not the requirements, the expectations of being part of the followers of Christ.
So the expectation was so high, it would just be nice if there was a way that I could live where there weren't any expectations or there were lower expectations.
Right.
Is that it?
Right. Okay. And they, yeah, yeah. So that kind of stuff was talked about my whole life before I ever heard anything about grace, really. But when people did start talking about grace and salvation through faith in Jesus alone, that was all the accusations, they didn't change. It was, oh, you left. So if a person was talking about grace, they leave followers, the accusation is you're just looking for an easier way.
Grace makes it easier.
Grace makes it easier.
Was it a hard life there? Is that what they did? They perceive themselves to have a hard life?
I think maybe
that's not a fair question.
Let me think about it, because in a lot of ways, I think it's a very easy life, but it completely depends on your circumstances there. There were people who had very hard lives there, and there were people who had very easy lives there.
It's probably like most places, right?
Yeah, really that part. But what they thought was that they had these things figured out. They did all the right things, that you had to perform these certain works. And so if you're leaving here, it's because you don't have what it takes to perform those works, that you can't.
And it would be easier not to perform those works.
Yes.
Okay. Now I'm tracking. I just wanted to make sure I understood.
Right. And I think the other part is that the assumption from most people was that you're just looking for a different lifestyle. Like, we live too moral of a life maybe here at Followers, and you want to go... I just keep coming back to, you just want to go find an easier way. That's really the way it was talked about the most. And I think there were really two parts to that question. I think they were challenged. When I started talking about being saved by grace, that challenged people in a couple ways. It challenged them with I would get the question, so you're saying that it doesn't matter what you've done in the past, either good or bad, that that does no impact on your salvation, that it's only by grace? So there's that past part of it. And then there's the kind of the from here moving forward. So the present future part is, so you're saying it doesn't matter how you live because you believe in grace. So you can do anything you want and you'll still be saved because of grace. And so those were kind of the two challenges.
Okay. Stop here.
Yeah.
Now, right?
Yeah.
So in the past, nothing you've done matters, you said. So you receive grace, and so your grace somehow forgives you for the bad that you've done, so the bad no longer matters.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're also saying that it doesn't matter what you've done because if it's grace, it comes to you as a gift, and so the good you've done doesn't matter either. And that was some of the objection, that neither the good nor the bad mattered once you receive grace?
Yeah, when you believe in salvation by works, then good and bad both matter. That's all that matters, really, is the good things you've done, the bad things you've done. It was hard for people to believe that no matter what you've done in your past, that you can be forgiven. It was like that sliding scale where if you've done too much, then God can't forgive you. If you can't receive grace, or I guess.
Well, let me just say, that is not, that's not a particular problem.
Right.
I mean, I think everybody, when you really understand the enormity of grace, you can't believe that it doesn't matter, you know, that he can forgive any kind of sin or so much sin. And it's still hard to believe that what I do doesn't matter, even when you're born somewhere else.
Yeah.
And you're born in the one wrong church. You still struggle to realize that it's not things, you know, salvation or good things or anything doesn't come because you've got some kind of transaction going with God and you do this and he pays you this. That's not how it works, but that is, everyone struggles with that.
Yeah. Well, and we've talked about it on here before. I talk about it in Bible study groups that I'm in with men, and it's because nothing else in the world seems to work that way.
Exactly.
Everything else works on a merit type basis. So it is hard to get, but I think the other danger in not being able to see it, I think there's a misunderstanding where they think that you're somehow diminishing sin by saying that it's just forgiven by grace. And I want to be clear that that is not what the Bible teaches. It doesn't lessen sin. It increases, it makes grace that much better because sin is so bad that God had to take care of that.
Yeah, if you don't have Jesus in the picture, then... And you sort of imagine, for some other reason you get grace without Jesus,
right?
Then, that would diminish sin. That would also diminish all the other things.
Yeah.
But when you have Jesus involved, you realize that it isn't that sin isn't a big deal. It's that sin was such a big deal that God had to send his only beloved son to atone for sin. And that... And that way, it becomes actually a bigger deal.
Yeah.
It's a bigger deal than it is if I think I have to work it off.
Right.
You know, I mean, if I have, say, I owe you some money.
Yeah.
And I can work hard enough in a couple hours to pay you back, that's not that big a debt.
Right.
But if I owe you some money and there's nothing I can do that can make that go away, the interest compounds so quickly, I can't get on top of it, but somebody, say Warren Buffett, steps in and says, here, Scott, you know, because I love you, I'm going to pay Mark off, you know, and help Mark, you know, make this debt go away. All of a sudden, that the size of the problem and the size of the intervention makes it seem like a bigger deal than one that I can work to pay off, if you know what I mean.
Yeah, Yeah, I do.
That's not a perfect illustration, but it gets us started, I hope.
Yeah, no, it's helpful. I just think it's really important that explaining to people about grace is not reducing the penalty for sin. It's, it's just in Romans, it says that where sin increased, grace abounded all the more. It's just, we should have a higher view of grace, not a lower view of sin, I guess, is if that makes sense.
The thing is, there's no pretending. You can't pretend you're okay. You can't pretend that sin isn't a big deal. You can't pretend that somehow you're so far ahead that you're going to be able to take care of yourself. I mean, all of that is pretending, really.
Right.
You can't pretend anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, so that's the kind of the past part, the being forgiven for what you've done up to this point when you repent and put your faith in Jesus. That's hard enough for people to believe, but they also are challenging, or I was also challenged on moving forward. So they took it like, so you're saying now because you believe in grace that you can just do whatever you want. Like, again, diminishing sin.
Well, we did one episode on, you know, is it too easy?
Right.
And I think this is basically the same objection, right?
Yeah.
If you step away, is it going to be too easy then for you to, I don't know, live whatever kind of life you want and brush it all over with grace?
Yeah. Yeah. So I was told one time before I had left, but when I was talking about salvation not being through works and with family, I was told one time that sin wasn't a big enough deal to me. You're just not making a big enough deal out of sin. And they went back to what Walter, he was the last preacher there, taught, that what made Walter such a good preacher, I was told, was that he made sin exceedingly sinful, which they're taking me walking away from followers as they're just assuming that I'm not believing that sin is exceedingly sinful. And I wish I could explain to them that I do believe sin is so exceedingly sinful that your only chance is God's grace. It's not thinking sin is more, you know, it's not your view of sin. It's you have to have God's grace through faith in Jesus. It's
not your view of sin that is the problem or the solution.
Right.
It's really your view of Jesus.
Yes.
And you have a view of Jesus that either he is or he isn't the solution. And if you believe he's not, but you're the solution, then you have other problems because of sin.
Right.
But if you believe that Jesus is a solution, well then that is the, how do I want to say it? That's the best way to have a serious view of sin, because that's the way that God atoned for sin.
Yeah.
And so it really did cost Jesus his life so that you might be forgiven.
Right.
Yeah. And that's more serious than me behaving well for a few days, you know?
Right.
Yeah.
Right. So one thing, I guess we could talk about this in a little bit different way, is can you take advantage of God's grace?
Yes. For by grace you are saved through faith. This is not of yourselves, it's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So you can take full advantage by faith of the grace that God offers you.
It's a great answer.
And I want to encourage you to do that because, that's exactly what it's there for.
Right.
I don't think that's your question.
No, let me rephrase my question. Okay. Could the accusations that were made against me be true for somebody?
Can you presume upon God's grace in a way that means you're blowing sin off and you don't really care.
Yeah. Can I live however I want because of God's grace?
Does God's grace give you permission to do whatever you want?
Right.
In other words, that's the easy life, right? You say, oh, I believe in God's grace, and I'm going to leave the One Right Church and live however I want.
Right.
That's what you're concerned about?
Right. Because I think, and I'll let you answer that, but I just want to make sure that everyone is clear. And I've said it on here before. My goal is not to just get everybody to leave followers. My goal, my prayer is that everyone will put their trust and their faith in Jesus, that they will follow him wherever that leads.
Yeah.
But I want to be clear that just leaving followers is not the same as putting your faith in Jesus. Freedom from followers is not the same as freedom in Christ, if that makes sense.
Well, that does make sense to me, anyway, because ultimately what you're talking about when you're talking about grace is you're talking about really receiving a free gift from God that you do not deserve. And, you know, it's easy to say then, so that what I mean by grace is I get eternal salvation and get to go to heaven when I die.
Mm-hmm.
And if that's like the sum of it, then what happens between now and when I die doesn't matter.
Right.
The reality is that that's not what Jesus came to do. Jesus didn't come simply to get me to heaven.
Right.
Nor is my good behavior simply to get me to heaven. What Jesus came to do was to restart God's new creation program, which meant that I live, if anyone is in Christ, this is the freedom in Christ you were talking about, if anyone is in Christ, they're a new creature.
Yeah.
The old is gone and the new has come.
Yeah.
And so you're talking about, can you live any way you want? No, you're not even in the same universe that you used to be in. The
right.
old is gone, the new has come. You're now in this new creation that Jesus is inaugurating, and by faith, I'm living a new kind of humanity, a new kind of life that I couldn't live before.
Yeah.
My self-effort couldn't get me there. Right. I'm living a new kind of life. I mean, it's the same thing it says in Titus chapter 2. It says, the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people. Now, you're maybe thinking, oh, everyone gets, you know, all the people who believe get to go to heaven. That's not what is happening here. For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all people, training us to renounce ungodliness, worldly passions, live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in the present age.
Yeah.
So the point of this grace isn't just on the, you know, heaven by and by. It's right now, today, tomorrow, I live a different kind of life. And the thing is, it is the grace itself that does the work in me. It is the grace itself that does the training in me so that I'm no longer, I'm not living that old life. I'm living this new life where I've been, you know, united with Christ, and now I'm in Christ and I'm a new creation. And that is a different kind of life. So you say you want an easier life.
Yeah.
You're making some assumptions. You're assuming that I still want that old life.
Right.
I just want it to not be as hard or have as many rules.
Yeah.
That's not what Jesus is doing. Now, if I'm not on Jesus' program, I'm off, you know, like you said, having what do you say? Not freedom from followers is not the same as freedom in Christ. I may have freedom from followers and not freedom in Christ.
Right.
This freedom in Christ comes when I'm united with him by faith and I'm living now in under his leadership, and it's different leadership than leading my own life. It's a different leadership than, you know, leading life based on what Walter said. This is me living under the leadership of Jesus.
Right.
And that's what grace, you know, transfers me. It tells us in Colossians that he transferred us from the domain of darkness into the kingdom of his dear son.
Yeah.
That grace does that transferring. It's almost like, you know, the claw game at the pizza parlor where it picks up the ball and transfers it over and drops it down where you can, you know, get it and take it home. That's what is happening when you have grace. It transfers you into the kingdom of his dear son.
Yeah. Yeah. It's good. I just reminded, we there's a temptation. There's maybe temptation's not the right word, but there's an adjustment period when you do get away from the belief that your works are going to save you. When you get away from a system like followers, there's a real temptation to think that any kind of godly life or any kind of moral expectation is legalism, that it's a requirement and I think you want to reject some of that stuff right away and just say, this is all legalism and I'm free from that now. And I just think, I think that's a great explanation that you gave, that it's freedom in Christ. I've heard another way of people saying it is that a lot of people want Jesus as their Savior, but not as Lord in their life. Like they don't want Him telling them what to do, really. And that would probably be the easiest life, right? If you got all the benefit and didn't have any responsibility, might not be the right word, but if there was just nothing expected of you at all, you could live however you wanted, wanting that old life and still getting the benefit. That's not one of the options, I guess.
Well, some of it is, you know, how do you view life? How do you view being a Christian? You know, is it fundamentally a matter of duty or is it fundamentally a matter of love? Mm-hmm. Okay. I mean, you'd ask the same question about marriage.
Right.
You know, is my relationship to Marcia fundamentally a relationship of duty? Well, you could conceivably say, well, pretty much, you said you were going to sickness or health, better or worse, all the things. Yeah. And I do owe her.
Yeah.
You know, so in that regard, there is a sense of duty.
Mm-hmm.
But really, the nature of the relationship doesn't let me define it in those terms. It doesn't, it's unlivable, really, thinking of it like that, because that isn't really even how it works.
Yeah.
Instead, I have to think of it in terms of love, where I may actually do the same things that looked like duty as I defined it differently, but I choose to do those out of love.
Yeah.
And it's a joy to do that. And it's easier to do it out of love. Yeah. So in that respect, if that's ultimately the measure, it does become easier, in part because, number one, I look at it differently, but number two, this grace empowers me. Now I'm talking about being a Christian, not being a husband. But this grace empowers me to do what the law requires me to do.
Yeah. Yeah.
So in that respect, because I have this empowering by the Holy Spirit that is given to me also by grace, I have this ability that I didn't have before. And in that regard, it's easier.
Right.
But not because I'm not supposed to do anything or not supposed to care or not supposed to, you know, have any morals any longer or anything like that.
Right.
So I'm probably saying too much.
I remember when one of the times that Cindy was on here and we were talking about grace, is it too easy? And she said that I think her answer was, when they asked, so you're saying you can live however you want? Her answer was, I can live how I want, but I want a different thing.
I want different things.
I want different things. Mm-hmm. So, I think that's a great answer to it. I don't know. It's important to me. A couple things, I think, as we're talking about this, it's important to me that people have a very high view of the gift of God's grace, that it was it was given to us, a very high price was paid to give it to us. And the other thing is I do want people not to presume on that grace too. I do want them to respond appropriately to it, if that makes sense. I don't know if I'm saying that very clearly, but I don't want people to have the idea that freedom from followers, or I don't have to do those things anymore, now I can live however I want, is not the same thing as...
Well, to presume upon grace is not to understand grace.
Yeah.
You're presuming on what you thought was grace. You're not really presuming on the grace itself.
Right.
The grace itself, you know, brings this new life, these new desires, this new ability, and changes you.
Yeah.
The grace that you think, you know, you're somehow, I don't know, is some level of freedom or absolution, is just not what the Bible is promising you when it gives you, when it says by grace you have been saved through faith.
Yeah.
That's a different, that's a substantively different thing. And so I think it's, that's the hard part is, we use the same word for grace means I just get off free.
Yeah.
I suppose it does, but the grace that is offered in the Bible is much richer than that.
Yeah. Yeah, it's true. Well, I think, is there anything else that, did I ask any questions that we didn't answer so far? Are we?
Yeah, I don't, I mean, they're probably, sure they're unanswered questions, but I don't remember us starting any of them today.
Okay.
That we didn't get to.
Yeah. Well, I do, like always, I do want to point people to Jesus. I do want people to want to follow him. And I do want them to know that we don't do that by our own efforts, by our own works, that we do that through faith in him. And we get that by grace. And so I just pray that people would get that. But we would sing a song out there called Stepping in the Light. It was one of my favorites, actually, but it starts out with trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, trying to follow our Savior and King, shaping our lives by his blessed example, happy how happy the songs that we bring. And that alone could sound like, I got to try really hard to do this. The next verse says, pressing more closely to him who is leading when we are tempted to turn from the way, trusting the arm that is strong to defend us, happy how happy our praises each day. Walking in footsteps of gentle forbearance, footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love, looking to him for the grace freely promised, happy how happy our journey above. Now that one, those are his footsteps that were footsteps of faithfulness, mercy, and love. And then, looking to him for the grace freely promised. That's the only way that we can try to walk in the steps of our Savior is by receiving that grace. The last verse says, trying to walk in the steps of the Savior, upward, still upward, will follow our guide. When we shall see him, the King in his beauty, happy how happy our place at his side. And so I don't know, that was always one of my favorites, and I was really glad when that third verse, when I understood that that is the only way I can do any of these.
The grace freely promised.
Yeah, the grace freely promised.
Good. No, thanks for bringing that topic up today.
All right. Well, hopefully this has been helpful. If you have questions or comments or a topic that you would like us to cover, you can reach us at comments@onerightchurch.com. And for more information, you can visit our website, www.onerightchurch.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you next time.